Shallow one. All praises, glory, and honor to Abba Nahwa Yahweh, Bahashem, Yahweh Shai. The Heavenly Father's name is Yahweh, which means He exists. Bahashem, which means in the name. Yahweh Shai, which means He is the deliverer, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father have given us His truth through the Rekha Kodash, which is the Holy Spirit. And we thank Yahweh Bahashem, Yahweh Shai, for His tender mercies, peace, and blessings to the elect and a remnant, which consists of these so-called Negroes, Hispanics, Native Americans, as well as the Israelites who are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, who look like all the different nations, which your lineage go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Peace and blessings. This is HIBN, which stands for Hebrew Israelite Biblical News. This is your brother Shalom. And out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 6, goes into how the Lord had made us ministers of the new covenant, not by letter, but of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. It says, the Spirit is what gives life. The letter, it kills, which is going into the old covenant. You know, the Old Testament, because if you don't keep the law, statutes, and commandments, you know, like in the ancient times, especially if it was sins unto death, you would be put to death without mercy. There'd be no crying and trying to explain and oh, I didn't know. It would be a death sentence. You would be pretty much stoned without any, you know, reservations about it, you know. So now the new covenant is by the Spirit, which is through the Rekha Kodash, the Holy Spirit. And being under the new covenant, you will receive the blessings of repentance and mercy. And basically being exonerated from sins in the past, sins in the present, and sins in the future. Not giving you a license to sin, but, you know, having that favor, which is grace. Because, you know, you have to repent. Repentance is putting down or turning away from your sins. So by turning away from your sins and repenting, you won't be held, you know, basically, in so many words, you won't be judged by those past sins, because those sins were forgiven. You have basically been given clemency, you know, a pardon. The Bible goes into, you know, being pardoned. So Yahweh Shai dying on the cross, His blood covered the sins of the nation of Israel, past, present, and future, having your sins totally blotted out. Your transgressions, whatever, you know, you are doing in your personal life that's breaking the law, statutes, and commandments, by you repenting, those sins are pretty much not going to be, you know, mentioned. Just like if you have situations, and this is not necessarily going into, like sin, but this is going into forgiveness. Say, for instance, if someone trespassed against you and, you know, it was an offense, you know, and later on they came and apologized and they were sincere, you can't bring that up again. Because if you forgave them, which, You know, that's what it's all about. If someone trespassed against you, they confess their faults, but then on your part, you had to forgive them. You can't mention it again. You can't, you know, like, if it's another situation, then all of a sudden you bring up what happened in the past. You can't do that. It's not right. So the Lord, he goes into forgiving. Now, does that mean like if someone truly offended you and they apologize, or even if they didn't apologize, that you got to be buddy-buddy with them? No. You know, there are certain situations where it's best to disassociate from a person or persons. You know, for the sake of not allowing yourself to be put in that situation again. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing that, but you know, ultimately, you know, it's a matter of having mercy and just, you know, basically forgiving. You know, having that forgiveness in your heart, but that don't mean that you have to, again, allow yourself to be put in that situation again. Because you're going to have friends, family, you know, whoever that you might be close to that will do something against you and you forgive them, but you know it's that old saying, just don't forget about that situation. Realize that if you do allow yourself to be put in the situation again, it can happen again, especially when it comes to, you know, people who are narcissistic that really can't stop what they're doing. It's like they're on a repeat cycle. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do it, then they apologize, and they do it all over again. Now, I'm talking about, you know, stuff that's detrimental to your spiritual health and your mental health. Because the Lord, he goes into... it's better to be alone than to be, you know, basically in the house or surrounded with contention or, you know, something to that, I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but something to that, you know, saying. And I'll see if I can find it right now. I have to wait whenever I, run into a red light, and then I can kind of look it up. So this one goes into like a nagging wife, like Proverbs 21. And 19, where it says better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. So it's better to be alone than to be with, you know, like a woman who is loud and contentious. And like to keep up drama. Some of you brothers might be in a situation like that, where you might have a woman. She know that she should be supporting you because you're in the truth, because you're a man of the Lord, but yet she's trying to stop you from seeking the Lord. She's, you know, like interfering when you're trying to study and want to nag, you know, talking about like if you're reading the Bible all the time or if you're out there prophesying and it's days that you go out and speak, but then she want to, you know, be a hindrance. It's better to be alone than to be with somebody that's going to argue or nag with someone. Now, there's, you know, of course, discretion, because if you're, you know, a husband and you got children, then you have to, you know, do your best to, you know, resolve the situation without, you know, God forbid, you know, you splitting up your family, because, you know, you have children, you have to think about them and their feelings and how that's going to, you know, basically what kind of damage that could do, you know, to them, because grown folks don't realize, you know, how difficult that is for young children to be in the middle of like parents that are splitting up or divorcing and stuff like that. It's real hard and difficult for everybody, you know, the man and the woman, but it's very difficult for the children to have to go, you know, through that. So that's the balance, you know what I'm saying? But if you're in a situation where you're single and it's a contentious woman and she's just, you can't keep no peace, then you just, you know, you do what's best. You know, the Lord put on your spirit to separate and leave that woman alone. Do it, because she's being a hindrance from you seeking and receiving salvation. You know, she is, you know, basically drawing a wedge between you and you getting the hell up out of here. Because ultimately, anybody that's seeking the Lord, you know, the end game is to be delivered, to receive salvation, to have your sins covered, you know, through the blood of Yahweh Shai, being able to be redeemed from the Redeemer. Because the Heavenly Father is in the heavens, and he's angry, and he's wroth, and he's ready to kill a lot of his people. And then you have the Messiah on the right hand of the Father that's vouching, saying, that brother, he's a good brother. He's a good servant, you know, and his family, you know, they're with him, you know. So by your righteousness, you're going to be your righteousness will cover your family's sins, you know, if they're unbelievers. Like, that goes into the unbelieving wife. If she's an unbelieving wife and she's not coming against you, she might not believe in everything that you believe in, but because you're doing what's commanded, and you have faith, and you believe in your heart, you believe that Yahweh Shai died for your sins, then your righteousness will cover her unrighteousness. So going back to what I was saying about, you know, because the point that I wanted to make was going into how it's better to basically not be around wicked ass people, man. You don't have to necessarily be with a camp or you know, lumped in with a group of people. if they're being wicked as hell. Okay, so I'm at a light, so let me see if I can find that scripture. If I can't find the verse, I have to, you know, Lord's will, do a lesson on it. And I have to go back to this audio so I can remember to speak on that. Because the Bible do go into two is better than one, and forsake not the assembly. So you don't want to have that antisocial spirit of not wanting the fellowship. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you're around a bunch of wicked ass people, it's better to be alone. You know, it's better to not be in a group of, Israelites that are worldly, that are, you know, basically being, following the traditions of men instead of following Yahweh by Shem Yahweh Shai. Because you have brothers out there that will come up with different traditions, man, different philosophies. And they'll try to mingle it with the truth. To try to come up, you know, with their own, you know, basically establishing their own righteousness, which is not good. So, you know, again, it's better, you know, to, you know, be in a situation where you're waiting on the Lord. And, you know, if you want to prophesy, nothing is stopping you from prophesying alone. You don't necessarily mean that you do have to be with a group, but it is better. I'm telling you from experience, because I've been prophesying alone for a while, yet and still, it'd be cool to, you know, have sincere brothers that will, you know, help, you know, do the work. But nonetheless, I still got to do it. Whether it's people around or not, I have to still continue to, you know, do my best to serve the Lord. Commanded. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And he told us to warn the people. But also, we have to mainly preach the gospel, which, you know, the Lord been putting on my spirit to really speak on the gospel. Because, yeah, we know about Esau. Yeah, we know his plans and his, you know, his snares and his traps and his, you know, basically what he is preparing and ready to do, yet and still, what is going to save a man or a woman out of that situation is knowing that their sins are covered, and they recognize and respect the Lord's sacrifice and repentance. You know, you're repenting from sins, you know, and then receiving that gift of salvation, man, and truly believing, because it's all about having faith. Did the woman or the man know that they were going to be healed? Yes, because they had faith. They truly believed. So that's what it's all about. Believing in your heart. All right, I'm here at the job right now at the plantation. So I just wanted to, you know, do this broadcast, you know, Shalom to the family out there, you know, peace and blessings. And, you know, I just want to, you know, encourage you brothers and sisters out there, continue to seek the Lord 10 times more. You know, if you, you know, fell, and the scripture says a righteous man fall 7 times and get back up. So get back up, come back into this truth. Repent and keep it pushing. I want to give all praises, glory, and honor to Abba Nahu Yahweh, Ba'ashim Yahweh Shai, Shalom.